Hello, everyone. John here again with End of Effort. Today, I wanted about trusting the timing of the manufacturer. You know, there's a lot in our world that just screams the want for something ahead of its time. And there's nothing inherently wrong with wants, right? It's built into humanity. It's built into us from God giving us this desire to have certain wants and needs. He knows what our basic needs are. Obviously, any good father does. Any quote, manufacturer of a product, if you will, if you're looking at it from manufacturer product viewpoint, is that's already built in to the product that the manufacturer had in mind ahead of time. In other words, when you dream up something, sometimes it could be years off. But when you're dreaming of that, you write it down in the dream journal, if you will, right? You write it down in the quote plans that you have. Even though you don't plan all the way out, because then that would just be ego trying to carve out its own existence. And I know a lot of the world does that, but with kingdom peeps like you and I, it's all about living in the moment. But even when we live in the moment, it's already been planned light years ahead of time and light years behind us. Okay. Meaning that we're eternal in the linear realm and the natural. Yeah. The past is gone and there is no future in the linear world. Why? Because we're creating it as we go, even though it's already been thought up in our mind in the dream world. But in the dimension of no time, the supernatural realm, the eternal existence of love himself, there is no beginning and no end. It's eternal. It goes on and on and on forever. That's why when he said light be in the very beginning, he never said light stop. And because he said light be, it just keeps bursting forth galaxy after galaxy after galaxy, and there is no end. It just doesn't stop. It's the never-ending light ball, if you will, that goes forth and keeps creating and bursting forth new realms. And so that's eternal. So when we're looking at a manufacturer and product standpoint, you know, look at it like this. If you were to come to market with like a new technology product, a new techie gadget, well, you're going to sit down and you're going to dream that thing up either by yourself or with a team that you trust. And when you're sitting down and you're putting all these things together and you're brainstorming and you're having a blast doing it, the key is to have a blast doing it. Of course, you're going to do it because it comes out of your heart. And anything that comes out of the heart is in the moment. And when it comes out of the heart in the moment, in the now, then it is enjoyable. Anytime we start framing things up about time frames, the outcomes, it has to happen by a certain deadline, then we start getting stressed out, right? But when we're in the play, when we're playing in the play and we're dreaming up a product, so to speak, then what you're going to do is you're going to build in to that product everything that it needs to last, everything that it needs for its existence and for longevity, okay? It's the same principle when God designed mankind, humanity. It doesn't matter if you know God or believe in him or not. It's built into every DNA of every single individual that we have been made in his image, and that's the image of love. And love always comes packaged with what it needs for eternity. So because it's there, that means it's pure consciousness. The problem is that ego keeps us asleep. And because ego keeps us asleep, therefore we have expectations, we have demands, we have wants, we have needs. And here's where it gets tricky. Because when we have needs and wants and demands, then we've just put an expectation to it and we've just made ego real. We've just made ego. We've given ego its license to do what it does. And if ego's leading the show, that's an unconscious state. That's not being fully awakened. In other words, you're asleep. Spiritually speaking, you're asleep when you operate out of pure ego. And what does that look like? Ego means I'm going to go do what I want, get it when I want, and expect it the way I want it to come? How much of the world is doing that right now? How much of the church is doing that? How much of the religious world is doing that? Well, I'd say a high, high, high percentage, right? It's fight, flight, and freeze mode. That's where ego lives and dwells and has its being, is in fight, flight, and freeze mode. Fight, flight, and freeze mode. It's all about me. What about me? What about me? And when it's about me, then ego is running the show. And therefore, there are timelines and deadlines and expectations. And if they're not met, guess what? Trust is broken. Whatever trust I thought I had. But in the spirit world, in the awakened world, the awakened existence aside from ego, it means that you, it's just that, you're awake. And when we're awake, we are in the full reality of a love that is never ending. And when we're in love, love does not demand its own ways. Why? Because it doesn't have a time frame to it. We only get into trouble, friends, when we put time frames and outcomes to things, when it is all about, on the opposite end of the spectrum, trust and patience. I know that's hard for some of you to hear because you've waited so long for something to happen and it hasn't happened according to your timeline. Well, what was that? That was just ego trying to have its existence and its way and lead the way in your life. And maybe you didn't even know that that was what's happening. You just thought the devil was opposing you. Or you thought that, man, you know what? God doesn't like me. Or, you know what? Nothing good happens to me. And I always get the bad rap. I always get the bad end of the deal. And on and on and on. But again, that too is ego lying as an illusion to our lives. That's all it is. It's an illusion. It's not reality. It's not true. The only thing that is true is pure awakened consciousness, and that equals love, okay? That is the new norm. It's not even new. It's the old thing, but it's new for us today because we've been living in ego so long, so it feels like it's brand new. And to some of us, it is to an extent because we've been living asleep. And when we're asleep, then we have all of these demands that it better come when I want it or I'll get ticked off and mad and angry and then I'll shake my fists in the air and say, God, it's all your fault. Why, God, why? Why, God, are you letting this happen to me? Why are you allowing this? Why are you letting the devil to beat me, you know, beat me up? Why is everything just happening for everybody else but not me? Me, me, me. Why, why? Me, me, me. Why? And when we live in that destructive pattern, what happens is oppression, depression, anger and wrath and frustration and confusion and all those things begin to flood in and dominate our life. And then we are lost in the weeds. We can't see our way out of the pile of garbage in front of us because we're so lost in it. And then ego continues to lie to us over and over and over again. See, nobody wants you. God's abandoned you. He's not paying attention. It happens for everybody else, but not me. And then we go around the mad cycle all over again, constantly going around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain. And see, that's no place to live because it's torment. Remember what the Bible says, that it's confusion in every evil worker where selfish ambition exists. And when we have selfish ambition, then that is directly linked to our egoic demands. But when we cross over from ambition to meaning, oh, here's where it gets fun. Meaning that we're in sleep mode, we're asleep, but when we cross over and we're awake, we become awakened, then we are living surrendered to the moment. Surrendered to the moment of a quantum realm called love, where anything is possible at any time. It's the surprise zone of God. This is where surprises happen to us. Because listen, when we lose the need and the want for something, that is when God can see fit clearly to bring it the way he wants and he desires, and it's always better anyway. The only thing that's required is possibly a little patience or a whole lot of patience. That's up to God. We don't determine that. But I tell you this, acceleration happens the more fun we have and the more we lost we get in the moment of the enjoyability of what we love doing. That's the key. That's the key right there, is to get lost in the enjoyment of what we're good at lost in the enjoyment of what we love doing without having a expected end. See, some of us think that if we just do this formula of getting lost in the enjoyability, that God's going to come through the way I want him to. No, 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 no. That's just your ego speaking again, saying it has to happen this way if I do it a certain way. That's the intellect combined with the ego saying, I need my survival mentality to stay alive, because if I don't, then it's death to my old story. See, our old story wants to live and breathe and move and have its being. And ego, it does a really good job of keeping that old story alive, of survival. But when we lose the need to have a survival mentality and we thrust ourselves into trust, as hard as that is sometimes to think about doing, because after all, you couldn't trust anybody growing up, right? Some of you listening to this, you haven't been able to trust an authority figure. You haven't been able to trust the parental figure. You haven't been able to trust people around you because you've been living in your own scrap mode, your own fight mode most of your lives. And so because you have, then it becomes a fight, flight, and freeze mentality that you seem to be buried in and see no way out of. It's real simple, guys. It's real simple to get out of it. It's called surrender, moment by moment, without a formula attached. See, the minute we think that, oh, if I just surrender long enough, if I just be patient long enough, if I just, you know, position myself and enjoy what I'm doing, and in the back of my mind think, okay, if I keep doing this, I keep doing this, then God's going to love me. God's going to give approve of me, and God's going to come through for me. I just know it. I just know it. So then you create another formula. See, love doesn't have formulas. Love doesn't equal building blocks of intellectualism. Love doesn't have a law attached to it. And that's for a very specific reason, because God knew that we were linear beings. He knew that we were this fragile individual in a hunk of flesh walking around the planet needing strategies and formulas in order to make our way through this fallen existence. But see, it wasn't that way before the fall, was it? Eden means an atmosphere of pleasure. What was the atmosphere of pleasure? The atmosphere of pleasure and enjoyment was being in the presence of love, because when love saturates, it intoxicates. And when it intoxicates, you get lost in the eternal realm of the moment. And when we're lost in the eternal realm of a moment, then amazing things start popping and showing up. Why? Because you have no wants and needs and desires other than just to be in the moment and the present with love. And love satisfies. Love is all. Love wins. Love equals everything. And because we're in that moment, every moment, surrendering to it, then here comes God's surprises, because the desire for the needs in our lives, the desire for the wants in our lives, is what's really putting up the locked doors in front of us and around us to where the magnetic flow coming towards us is blocked. In other words, ego throws up walls in front of us and around us as a fortress, because it's filled with demands, it's filled with needs and wants, and what it is, it puts up a wall completely encircling us to keep the goodies away from us. It's kind of like the analogy, I've said this before, about the boat in the lake or the ocean, and it's going at full speed. It's actually pushing things, the water specifically, away from its hull, away from its stern, away from the front of the boat. And because you're going at 90 miles an hour, ego meaning ego, going 90 miles an hour, what does it do? It pushes all things away. It pushes the river of life, the water of life, away from your existence. But when you slow that bad boy down to a complete stop, what happens? Especially if you go from fast to slow to stop very quickly. Then it has a reverse effect. The waves start coming in and crashing in on you. So when that happens, real, real amazing God suddenly starts showing up. Why? Because we're in a relaxed, restful state, enjoying the moment. How many of you ever been out on a boat or just a huge floating raft of some kind, or a pontoon, you know, type boat, anything like that? And you're out in the water and you're just floating there with no motor on, no anchor. You're just enjoying the moment, laying in the sun. It's one of the most blissful feelings, isn't it? The same holds true when you're laying on your back doing the dead man's float, floating down a calm river, floating in a lake, and you're just laying there on your back. You're at the mercy of whatever current exists, and you're floating, and you're being taken with that current. You're being taken the way of the water flow. See, it's effortless, in other words. It's effortless. Nothing is resisting. You're just going with the flow. And that's called being in a state of flow, but it's also being in a state of rest. So you can have the flow and the rest. It's an active rest, right? I call it an advancing from a state of rest. Because when you're in that mode, this is where God can take you in a pliable, moldable fashion, where you are easily moldable, you're easily pliable in every situation. You're like water. Bruce Lee said, become like water. And it's true. When you become water, you become like spirit, and spirit has fluidity to it. And when there's a flow to the spirit man, anything is possible. Anything is possible. But when we're operating out of ego, it becomes rigid and stiff and things start breaking. You become the bull in the china shop and stuff breaks. Let me tell you, it breaks. So this whole concept of living out of the spirit, living out of pure consciousness, in other words, it's one and the same, versus living out of the rigidity of the flesh, the works of the flesh and ego, all one and the same. There's a huge contrast. That's why they're always at odds with one another. They're always at war with one another. You see the same thing in the rioting and the violence and all of these things that have risen in the earth lately. What you have in Seattle in the autonomous zone, you've heard it in the news. And again, if you're listening to this 5 years from now, then you'll say, oh, that was old news. But listen, it's a moment in time where you can say different moments of time like this happen all the time. But, you know, this one in particular is interesting because what you have is, for the most part, and I don't know all these individuals and neither do you, is you have, let's just say, a younger set of people. Yeah, there's some older people mixed in, but let's just say there's a generation, millennial generation, for example. This is just an example, guys. Millennial generation there in the autonomous zone, and they have certain wants and desires. They're saying, okay, and not all of these are bad, by the way. You have, look, we want justice in the justice system. We want balance there. In other words, we want fairness. We want to be treated with safety and want to be treated with equality. And we don't want to be abused anymore, basically, is the cry of their heart. Now, they don't know exactly what that means. They just see the pain and the trauma on TV, and so they're like, hey, I don't want it to happen to me, right? And there's some validity, and there's some truth in that. We need reform, okay? There's no doubt about it. But when you look at reform, okay, genuine reform that lasts, it's not birthed and sustained in ego. It may manifest through ego because of the pain and the trauma and the anger and the frustration, right? But it can never be sustained that way. And here's why. Eventually, something has to awaken. And when it does, ego doesn't have a place anymore. It becomes a pure consciousness. And what does pure consciousness result in? Solutions. Real reform. This is where we get the word reformation from. Reformation. There's something that's attached to reform. It's ation. And what that means is there's actually something that occurred in the reforming of that egoic explosion. Okay, it's not always manifested that way, but it's really most change happens when some tragedy takes place and people are sick and tired of it and they say enough. It's the same with your health, right? Something bad happens in your health and you're like, okay, I'm finally listening now. And so then a reformation happens, an awakening happens, right? It's not any different, really, in the larger form in the Seattle autonomous zone, where a bunch of people have taken that place hostage, a matter of several blocks, City Hall and all that. And they're saying enough. But what's really happening is ego is manifesting because it's hurt. Ego meaning myself is hurt. And so I've got to express this hurt and this pain somewhere. I don't have a solution yet, but I need to lash out to let everybody know that I'm hurting. So that's the first step. So then the pain comes flying out and you see it in all the broken glass and the people getting killed and all this kind of stuff all over the planet. So that's an ego that has not been acknowledged or listened to or embraced to the degree of healing. So that's manifesting. Now the next thing that comes on the heels of that is a clashing of egos. So then you have the police force or the military and everybody saying, you know, la la la, we've got to you know, it's the rule of law. And we've got to have law and order. So there's that extreme on that side saying we're going to do whatever it takes to shut this down. So then there could be more pain and death and all the rest, right? So then you have a clashing of egos. Where real manifestation of solutions comes through is both sides saying, wait a minute, we're awakening past the anger now. We've expressed our anger because anger is not sustainable forever. It'll shut your body down. So then they manifest the anger and then they come to the table, hopefully, lay down their pride enough to say, okay, we're in a moment in time now where we're awakened enough to see that consciousness is here to give us solutions. So I always say on the heels of tragedy is a level of awakening that leads to reformation. So you can only have the reformation when you've been fully awakened. So what does that all that mean? It means like, look, if I'm in the autonomous zone in Seattle and I'm rioting and I'm angry and I'm breaking stuff and there's something deep inside of me that's yearning to be listened to and to be heard and hailed and embraced and accepted and all that, then at some point I've got to say, wait, hold on. Where's the solutions in this? Now, not everybody's going to do that because they want to stay asleep, right? So they're going to keep cycling through the pain. But again, it's not sustainable. Something's going to happen and a breakdown is really in the future. That's why the Bible says wages of sin is it will equal death at some point. You'll start dying immediately when you continue in that path. And scientifically and medically speaking, when we stay in stress and anger mode, it is the quickest killer. It's the quickest way to shut down the organs in the body. It's the same true with a society. So needs and wants and desires. Ego manifests, it wants what it wants and it wants it now. You ever notice that when somebody's furious and angry and frustrated and you know, confused, they want something now to satisfy their needs. That's why you saw people walking out in the riots and the violence grabbing food and beer and alcohol, cigarettes, stuff to really appease the egoic nature, the cravings of the egoic nature to say, I want what I want and I want it now to satisfy the urge of my ego fueled by adrenaline. It's kind of like the pot smoker that keeps downing, taking hit after hit. And they're like, I got to have pizza. And they don't stop eating pizza because it's insatiable, right? The hunger is insatiable and it won't be fed until you're done. You got to be done though. When you're done, you're done. And that's the point is we awaken when we're done. We come to a place called done because ego's destruction. And then, then we go, oh, I can see clearly now that my ego is gone. And when our ego is gone, out of the way, meaning we always have a part of ego, right? Because that's self. Can't completely eradicate self until you drop dead. But you can clear the way, so to speak, and clear the clouds. You can clear the confusion to where awakened conscious love comes forward and then it brings solutions. But it only happens in the eternal now, in the moment of the now when you're awakened. And you only awaken right now, right? You only awake now. You don't awaken tomorrow. You awaken now. You're awake now. Or you're asleep now. There's only one of the two. You're asleep, and again, speaking spiritually, asleep or awake, asleep or awake. You're only one of the two. And then you're in the process of the middle, right? Becoming awake. It's a gradual process or it's a quick process. But most people walking around in survival mode are asleep. They're sleepwalkers. If they want it that way and they want to maintain that addictive pattern. And some don't know any better. A lot of us didn't know any better. Because that's all we knew. We just knew how to fight for things and climbing the corporate ladder of the job world. That's all we knew how to do, was just go out there and beat everybody at the game so that we can get the bigger paycheck and have more vacation time, when all along it was just killing us. So that's why the world came to a screaming halt with COVID, is because it was killing us. Ego was killing the planet. Humanitarian-wise, killing everything and everything, you know, and then it has a trickle-down effect on animals and the environment, the soil, everything starts dying. So what happens? We're put on pause for a worldwide reset. But in order for that worldwide reset to stick, we have to be in an awakened state and in a sustained awakened state. And that's all about decision and choice, you know? So what will you choose today? What will I choose today? It all starts with right now. It all starts with the here and the now. And it's as simple as a child surrendering to the care of their parent. You ever see a little toddler, a little baby just curl up on the lap of a mama or daddy, a little puppy climb up on your lap, and it's just asleep and it's lost in dreamland? Why? Because that baby or that puppy or that kitty knows that it's taken care of. It can feel vibrationally, it can feel through frequency, it can feel through the tangibility of love that it's taken care of. That's a completely surrendered state in the now. Like one person said, we want to be like the kitten purring on Papa's lap. Because when a cat purrs in your lap, you know it's feeling completely at rest and at home, surrendered to the care and the love of its manufacturer or owner. Not manufacturer, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, interesting times we live in. Real interesting times, but the best of times. If you see it as the best of times, then you are more awake than you realize. If you look at everything as doom and gloom, and you look at where's my future, I have no future, look at this world is going to hell in a handbasket, then you're still asleep. Simple as that. You're still operating out of ego. And that's okay. There's no condemnation there. It just means that, hey, there's an awakening ahead for you. But what's it going to take? That's the question. What will it take for you to stop worrying and stressing about your future that's not even a reality yet? Okay. It's there eternally, but that's in a different time frame, a different realm, right? We're talking a different realm altogether. So we have a choice. We can live in the egoic state of mind and keep the torment up and fight with our spouse, fight with our friends, fight against God, kicking against the goads, wanting our own way, or we can cast it all upon Him and let Him take care and determine the outcomes. And again, guys, this isn't about being lazy. It's not about laying around doing nothing. No, it's quite the opposite. Because when you love what you do and you enjoy what your hobbies are, maybe you don't know what you're called to. That's fine. Enjoy that thing that makes you flow. Dive into it as much as possible. Yeah, you may have a job that sucks and you don't like it right now. But if you look at the best in it, and just say, hey, this too shall pass. This is temporary, but I'm going to learn everything I can while I'm here. I'm going to be a blessing while I'm here. But on the side, I'm in flow. I'm in flow doing what I love. And then eventually what's going to happen? The flow state is going to overtake the asleep state. And then it's going to take you on the ride of your life. People will seek you out, but not in the way you may think. There's the determined outcome or not determined outcome. We want to detach from that outcome. Ego always wants the outcome. No, we detach from that when we're awake. When we detach from it, then surprises show up and you leave the surprises to him in the timing he wants to do it, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 20 years from now. You have to be okay with when those God surprises show up and just know that you're in the will of God. Well, John, how do I know I'm in the will of God? What, am I supposed to make it happen? No, no, no. That's ego. That's ego talking, and the church is full of it. The church is full of ego saying, get out there and do the Great Commission. Get out there and win souls. Get out there and win souls. Win souls. Win souls. How in the world are you supposed to win souls in an asleep state? If you're asleep yourself and you're moving out of ego trying to win souls, win souls, win souls, and calling it God, what are you going to do? You're going to go out there and force someone to come and join your party in an asleep egoic state. And when you invite them in, then guess what? Then they have to cycle through the survival mentality too. And then they go out to the Great Commission and reproduce your discipleship all over again. What is your discipleship? Straight out of ego. You know, so we should walk around with shirts on to say straight out of ego instead of straight out of Compton. And you say straight out of ego, but awakening. Put that little caveat on the end. Yeah, so if we're looking at, you know, here's a good way to gauge it and just be simple about it. Childlike. We either force our way out of the fear of missing out, FOMO. We force our way through FOMO. Or we do the complete opposite of surrendering to an eternal, now awakened reality and watch God's surprises show up when he wants them to show up. And again, acceleration happens the more we live in this lifestyle. But it may not be in a way you think, but the best way you need it. Because if you really needed something, you would have it already. It's the wants that your ego is freaking out about. But if you really need something, your father is good. He is a good papa to give you what you need when you need it. Right? We just think that our wants should match the needs, or the needs should want the match, vice versa, right? In other words, if I sit there and I say, I need a 3-car garage and I need a thriving business, I need my business to take off, and in reality that's a want, and God gives you what you really need, then you may think that God is neglecting you. Because after all, you thought that your needs were your wants and they were combined. See, we mix that up with ego. Ego loves to mix that up and say that, wait a minute, your needs aren't being met, but it's really a want. See, your needs aren't being met, so therefore, you know, go do it yourself because God's not showing up on time. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, God didn't show up for me in my illness. God didn't show up for my dad, or he didn't show up for my cousin or my brother when they passed away at a young age. He didn't show up for this tragedy. He didn't show up for that challenge or that difficulty. Don't kid yourself. Don't lie to yourself. That's ego lying to you, saying that he wasn't there. He's there all along. He's in everybody. Who do you think you're made of? It's how we processed what happened. It's how we interpreted what happened is the issue. Because ego will always put an interpretation on something ahead of the revelation. See, many times you don't even know what the revelation of that issue was until after the fact and down the road. That's why it's always good to train yourself to live in the now so that you can see the process quicker. You can see what happened, what developed quicker, instead of going right to ego's doorstep, freaking out in the emotional realm, and staying that way for several years. It's one thing to grieve a tragedy for a certain amount of time, right? The Bible says roughly 30 days. Grieve it, move through it, okay? Sometimes it takes longer. I understand that. But just, you know, that there's that 30 days for a reason. Why? Because if you're living in an awakened state, then your time will be cut shorter than grieving, than staying in a grieving, painful loss mindset for years upon years. And see, that time can be shortened when we live in an awakened consciousness, when we live in a surrendered now moment, every moment. Because this is the eternal realm, and this is the quantum ability of love to quicken the pace, shorten the time span of the answers coming, in other words. So, do you really need that thing you're wanting for? Nothing wrong with having wants, but you may only get what you really need right now, and the wants will come when you need them. All right, I'm going to leave it right there. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in to the next one, and please give your comments. Share this podcast if you wish, and let all your friends and family members know about it. Feel free to do so. All right, much love to you.